Welcome to Common Sense Coalition Talk Radio, where you'll find straight talk from people with good old common sense.
I trust your opinion.
And now, for your host, he's putting sense back into nonsense.
Absolute insanity.
Well, you can hear me on the radio.
And I welcome you today to CSC Talk Radio. It is my honor, my privilege, and my pleasure to be here with you today. And I have brought with me today Bill Federer. We're going to talk about his book and what's going on with his, and also his DVD that he has out. But we want to talk about what's going on in this world and what how we can best understand it and educate ourselves regarding the radical Islam, the ISIS, and the radical Islam. Bill, thank you for being with us today.
Beth, great to be with you.
Well, did you have a wonderful Christmas?
Yes, thank you.
Well, we did, too. It's not quite over for us. My family on my side with siblings, we'll have it in January. So we're not quite done with Christmas yet, but that's okay.
Well, it was actually in 567 A.D. at the Council of Tours where they decided to make all 12 days between December 25th and January 6th the 12 days of Christmas, because Eastern Europe celebrated January 6th, the visit of the three wise men, as the most important day. So it still is the 12 days of Christmas, so when you celebrate.
Well, I'm a little beyond that on the 9th, but that's okay. We have to do it when everybody can get together, and that's getting more difficult as the family gets larger and larger. Well, it was back in November when we had you on last, and I wanted to have you on again when we could do this live and actually take phone calls and everything. We didn't take phone calls the last time, but we had you on, and we talked about we actually talked a little bit about the pilgrims and Islam and ISIS and how the history of it, and I kind of wanted to go through that again, not necessarily to promote Thanksgiving, but to actually educate myself as well as my listeners on what is really going on, and that it's not new. This has been going on a long time, hasn't it, Bill?
Well, it has, and it's important to know the background. And there's Patrick Henry. He's the one who said, "In the Give Me Liberty, Give Me Death." Yes. But in that very same speech, he said, "I know of no way of judging the future but by the past." Mm-hmm. And then there's a Lord Acton. He is the British statesman who said, "Power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely." He said, "The story of the future is written in the past." Then there's Winston Churchill. And he said, the further back you look, the further forward you're likely to see. In other words, if you're going to buy a cow and you wonder how much milk it's going to produce, you sort of look and see how much milk it produced last year. Sort of, the history is a little bit of a predictor of what you can expect.
Well, I can go back even farther than that. And my listeners, since they are farmers and ranchers, they'll tell you, you can judge it also by what the mother did.
How
good a milk giver the mother was, you know. So the ancestral behind it tells what's going on.
And so we see all these Muslim immigrants coming into Europe and coming into America, and we ask ourselves, what is going on? Well, we happen to have a pretty good track record. We have 1,400 years of track record that is a pretty good indicator of what is going to happen. And so it all started with Muhammad. And I've shared some of this before, but it's worth repeating. Muhammad was a religious leader for 12 years in the pagan city of Mecca. And he was born in 570 A.D., and he was illiterate. He could never read and write. And so his father died before he was born. His mother died when he was 6 years old. His grandfather and guardian died when he was 8 years old. So he was orphaned and taken in by an uncle named Abu Talib. And Abu Talib was a merchant, and he would take young Muhammad along with him as he would go on his camel rides to different cities. And Muhammad would be exposed to the different beliefs in the different places that they traveled. And so they would go to Persian cities, and the Persians were mostly Zoroastrian. And the Zoroastrians believed that paradise was filled full of virgins that would fulfill all the guy's desires. Muhammad heard this, and it got incorporated into his belief system. The Zoroastrians believed in jinns or genies, spirits that followed people around. Matter of fact, the word genius is not somebody with a high IQ. It was somebody that had a genie follow them around, tell them all the answers. And so that's got incorporated into Islam, and they have jinns and genies. We know stories like Aladdin's Lamp and 1001 Arabian Nights. And then Muhammad would go with his uncle to Jewish cities. Now, he could never read the Old Testament, but he heard their oral stories called Talmud and Mishnah, and some of those stories are reflected in his belief system. There is lots of other beliefs. In Arabia, they had 360 different pagan gods, and each town had its own favorite god, which is sort of the animist thing in the tribal Africa. Every different area would have a different god. And, you know, the American Indians, you know, they would have all these spirits inhabit these woods. And, you know, and in Japan, the animists would have neighborhood gods, and they had little altars on the street corner, and people would put in little slices of oranges and so forth. And so it's sort of like your basic level of paganism. And so in Arabia, they had each area, each town had its own favorite god. And that was called the Allah for that particular town. Well, Mecca was a larger city, and the Allah for Mecca was Hubal, the moon god. And they had this rock they thought had fallen from the moon, and these pagans would kiss the rock, walk around the rock, bow to the rock five times a day. Muhammad kissed this rock, and it got incorporated into his belief system. And then there's the Christian faith, and even Encyclopedia Britannica stated of Muhammad, the gospel was made known to him through apocryphal and heretical sources. So Muhammad thought the Trinity was the Father, Mary, and Jesus. Nobody explained to him the Holy Spirit. And so there are Muslims today that think Christians are polytheists worshiping three gods, the Father, Mary, and Jesus. And so we see that as Muhammad could never read the New Testament, but he would hear these apocryphal stories. One apocryphal work is called the Infancy Gospel of Thomas. It was written several centuries after Christ by someone who knew nothing of Jewish life, and so as a result, it's filled full of so many errors and inconsistencies that no scholar gives it any credibility. It would be like you and I writing fanciful little stories of Abraham Lincoln, but we talk about him living in China. It's like, I don't think he was ever there. But the apocryphal story of the infancy gospel was floating around the desert. And in there it says that Jesus made clay birds and clapped and they flew away and raised a playmate from the dead and, you know, spoke from the cradle when he was only 40 days old. Well, guess what stories Muhammad heard? And he put them in the Quran, that Jesus made clay birds and clapped and they flew away, raised a playmate from the dead, spoke from the cradle. There's no other place in ancient literature that these stories appear other than this infancy gospel that no one then or now takes serious. Yet Muhammad heard it. These stories are now in the Quran, and they take it as fact. And so we can identify all the beliefs that were pre-Muhammad, and we can identify that he heard them and they got incorporated into his belief system. And so Muhammad is 25 years old, and he is working for a wealthy widow named Khadija. She's 40 years old, widowed twice. She decides to marry him. And so now Muhammad does not have to work, and he has some time. He goes to caves and prays, which is what the Christians of that era did. It was sort of their early version of separation of church and state. It was this idea that if you really became a Christian, you were expected to give away your money and live the rest of your life in a cave or in a monastery, and sort of a me-focused type of salvation rather than wanting to influence society. And so Muhammad did this. He went into a cave, and he would pray, and Islam tells the story that a spirit appeared to him and squeezed him and commanded him to read. And he said he could not read. The spirit squeezed him again and said, read. He said, I cannot read. Spirit squeezed him a third time and said, read. He said, I cannot read. And then the spirit threw him down and he began to recite. And that's how the Quran came to Muhammad. He would get these verses in his mind and he would repeat them till he had them memorized, and he would teach them to his followers. The word Quran means recitation because it's an oral thing.
We're going to stop there because we're going right into a break. Your calls are welcome today. Bill Federer is here with us, and we're live. 877-895-5410 is the number to call. That's 877-895-5410. And Bill and Beth Ann will be right back.
You made me think you were mine, and you changed your mind. I'm lost as a feather in a hurricane. There's no way to measure how
Did you know that whether you're making a phone call, texting a friend, or checking email, you can be making a difference for CSE Talk Radio? That's right. When you sign up for wireless service from our friends at Affinity 4, not only do you receive affordable rate plans with nationwide coverage on one of America's largest wireless networks, you'll also be supporting CSE Talk Radio through Affinity 4's Give Back program. Affinity 4 Wireless offers a variety of phones from leading manufacturers, and you can choose from individual and shared plans to meet your needs. And you can keep your same phone number. Call 1-800-311-2021 today and let the Affinity 4 customer service team help you select the best plan and phone for your needs. And remember, when you sign up for any of Affinity 4's products and services, a portion of the proceeds will be donated back to CSC Talk Radio. Don't wait. Call today, 1-800-311-2021, and ask about their current wireless promotions, including a free month of service and free phone offers. That's 1-800-311-2021.
David Keithton, a patriot and good friend of CSC Talk Radio, has published a small booklet, A Constitutional Plan to Fix America. It says this will take 5 years with a market-based approach. Freedom, liberty, prosperity. David has kindly made these booklets available to Beth Ann so that she can bring them to you. To purchase 1 to 9 booklets, $3 each. To purchase 10 or more, $2 each. Shipping and handling included. Today, our nation faces the most difficult threat in over 200 years. The United States of America's very existence is in great danger. The wholesale destruction of our national currency and the standard of living, which all Americans have come to know, love, and unfortunately take for granted. Let's fix America. In ordering this booklet, you're also helping CSC Talk Radio. America working together to fix America and bring America home. Just $3 each. 10 or more, only $2 each. P.O. Box 73, California, Missouri, 65518.
You stroll out to the barn to check on those calves, kids, or lambs, and at first glance, you know something is not right. A weak kid, a calf who cannot nurse, or a ewe who does not have enough colostrum for her newborn lambs. Your role switches from caretaker to rescuer. In these situations, minutes count. Having the right products on hand is vitally important. Visit the animal care category at HanbyDairySupply.com to stock up on your medical needs. At Hanby Dairy Supply, they understand because their family has been raising livestock since 1954. With their years of experience, they can help you with your needs, including planning for those livestock emergencies. Visit HanbyDairySupply.com for colostrum, Energy Plus energy supplements, Formula 911, and a rest drench product. Stock up today and be prepared. HanbyDairySupply.com or give them a call at 1-800-306-8937. Listening to CSC Talk Radio. This is Beth Ann. I'm visiting today with Bill Federer, and we're talking about the Quran. We're talking about the history of Muslim. And when we left off, I didn't know this. You said that the word Quran actually means recitation because Muhammad couldn't write and that the Spirit recited this to him.
Right, and people say, well, how can somebody that's illiterate memorize all these verses? Well, in Arabic, they had a little rhyme to them, a little beat, very similar to rap music today. So maybe there's a student that can't read, flunks out of school, but he memorizes these long rap songs, and then when he raps, gets a crowd that gathers around and wants to listen to him. So Muhammad is very excited about his faith, and he goes into the pagan city of Mecca, and he only makes 70 converts in 12 years. And he gets confrontational and hangs around the Kaaba, this square building that housed all the pagan gods. And he begins to insult the pagans and tell them that they're going to burn in hell. Well, the pagans decide he's a disturber of the peace, but they can't do anything to him because he has his rich uncle, the merchant, Abu Talib. But finally, Abu Talib dies in 619 A.D. Muhammad's wife, Khadija, dies in 619 A.D. It is his year of sorrows, and the people of Mecca decide this is our chance, and they chase Muhammad out of town. Muhammad goes to a city called Al-Ta'if, but they don't want him either. They pelt him with stones and rocks and yell at him and throw dust, and the little kids jeer and mock Muhammad out of town. So Muhammad has no place to go. He is a Muslim refugee. And so he goes north 210 miles to a Jewish city called Medina. The Jews are nice. They let Muhammad in as a Muslim immigrant. He goes to the minority neighborhoods, and he begins to organize a following. We're familiar with the term of organizing in the community. And he gets a large enough following. He goes back to the Jews, and he pressures them to accommodate him and his followers politically. He wants them to change their laws, don't offend us, and so forth. And so they do. And now Muhammad is officially a political leader in addition to being a religious leader. Then something happens. Muhammad's followers in Mecca, they get pushy, argumentative, confrontational, and threatening. They get chased out of Mecca. They are Muslim refugees. They have no place to go. They go to Medina, and the Jews are nice. They let them in as Muslim immigrants. They gravitate to Muhammad's neighborhood, and Muhammad allows his followers to rob the caravans headed to Mecca in retaliation for the Meccans offending them and chasing them out of town. And so he gets a whole chapter of the Quran. It's Surah 8, Chapter 8, on how to distribute booty from robbing caravans. He gets a fifth of the booty. So where Jesus said, if they take your coat, give them your shirt, Muhammad's attitude was, if they take your house, you retaliate, take their caravan. And so Muhammad has 300 warriors, and they rob caravans. And in 624 A.D., the Meccans send 1,000 soldiers to protect their caravan, and Muhammad with 300 warriors defeats 1,000 at the Battle of Badr. This amazing victory convinces Muhammad to be a military leader, and he fights in 66 battles and raids in the next 8 years before he dies. He even used a catapult when he attacked the city of Al-Ta'if, and when he's hurling these rocks and stones into the city, it's killing innocent women and children. And when they tell Muhammad, he says, they are among them. So the innocent women and children get to be killed too. So since he is the perfect Muslim, Muslims today that want to be better Muslims, they want to be like him religiously, politically, and militarily. That's why Muslims today say it's okay to kill innocent people to advance Islam, because Muhammad did, because he's the perfect Muslim. And so we see that in 627 A.D., the Meccans send 10,000 soldiers to Medina to stop Muhammad and his men from robbing the caravans. And it turns out Muhammad is a brilliant military leader, primarily because he's creative, he's unpredictable, he's unconventional. In other words, he doesn't play by the rules of traditional Arab warfare. So these Arabs had 1 month off a year where they agreed not to fight. It was their Ramadan pilgrimage month, where they'd set aside their differences and go to Mecca and worship at that square building called the Kaaba that housed 360 different pagan gods, and sort of a gentleman's agreement they'd all get along that month. Well, Muhammad gets verses from his Allah instructing him to rob and attack these caravans during this month, and he catches them totally off guard, and he comes away with a lot of booty. Well, then he is faced with the Meccans sending these 10,000 soldiers to Medina. And Muhammad's version of roadside bombs and IEDs was he dug potholes and trenches all around the city of Medina, which rendered the superior cavalry of the Meccans useless. You can't charge your horses and camels across a field full of potholes and trenches. They'll break their legs. So it throws off the battle strategy. And then Muhammad goes to some of these pagan tribes at night, and he bribes them, and they slip away. He goes to some of the other pagan tribes at night, and he threatens them, and they slip away. Sort of the Chicago politics, the bribe or the bullet, the silver or the lead. And then it gets freezing cold for a week. The rest of the Meccans lose heart and decide to bring their troops home. And it leaves a power vacuum. Very similar to about a year and a half ago, our president declared the war in Iraq and Afghanistan was over, mission complete, and he brings all of our troops back home, and it leaves a power vacuum. Did they become more peaceful after we withdrew? No. They turned into ISIS and began to kill all the Christians. And so in Muhammad's case, when the Meccans withdrew, he was emboldened, and that his enemies were cowards and unable to subdue him. And so he goes back into the Jewish city of Medina, and remember those three Jewish tribes that were nice and let him in 5 years earlier when he was a Muslim refugee?
Yes.
Well, he gets offended at something one of the three Jewish tribes did, and he whips his followers into a frenzy that they say, oh, well, you offended us, and they attack that Jewish tribe, confiscate all of their property, and chase them out of their neighborhoods and chase them out of town. And he was smart enough politically to pick on the one Jewish tribe that the other two didn't like. And so the other two were like keeping their heads low. Well, at least he's not picking on us, and maybe he won't notice us. And now there's two Jewish tribes left. And the second one does something that offends Muhammad and offends his followers, and he whips them into a jihad frenzy, and they attack that second Jewish neighborhood, confiscate all of their property, and chase them out of town. This actually set a precedent in Islam called Hudna, H-U-D-N-A, Hudna. It means when you're weak, you make treaties until you get strong enough to disregard them. And so here we are pressuring Israel to make treaties with the surrounding Muslim nations. And the Muslim concept of treaty is just a ceasefire to restock missiles. Here we are talking about a treaty with Iran when their concept of a treaty is just to put your enemy off long enough so that you can finish making nuclear weapons. And the third Jewish tribe, Muhammad bottles them in their neighborhood for 25 days. When they finally surrender, he brings them into the market and chops off their heads, 600 or 700 of them. And then he sells the women and children into slavery. And we see that within 5 years of Muhammad coming into a Jewish city, there's not a Jew left in the city. They were chased out, killed, or enslaved. And within 5 years of Muhammad's death, every pre-existing culture in Arabia is eliminated. They were chased out by the rightly guided caliphs and these generals and warriors. And so we see it's a three-step process. Like Caesar's three steps, Vini, Vidi, Vici, I came, I saw, I conquered. Muhammad's three steps were immigrate as a religious refugee into the host victim country, so to speak. Increase the number of your followers amongst the disadvantaged minorities who feel like they've been victimized, and then get involved politically. And then eliminate the previous culture and take over militarily. And so there's a 1,400-year track record. We talked about looking at the cows and how much milk. Well, this is a track record. There's 1,400 years. And so we see I was speaking in Detroit, and there's different areas that have been completely taken over by Muslims. And they first came in when Henry Ford wanted to break the unions, and he thought, well, hey, they'll have a hard time unionizing these Muslims, and so he brings them in. But now they've grown and grown and grown. And so now they have come in as immigrants and taken advantage of the freedom of religion. And then they begin to practice their Sharia law politically. First in their own houses, there was a lady who had a ministry to pregnant moms, and she'd bring a little present by. And so she goes to the Muslim house, and there's a pregnant Muslim woman, and she gives her a little present. And then there's another pregnant Muslim woman, another one, another one. But there's four pregnant Muslim women in the house, all pregnant by the same man. He's practicing Sharia law in his house there in Dearborn, Michigan.
That's interesting. We're going into another break. Your calls are welcome at 877-895-5410. When we come back, I do want to talk a little bit more about the Sharia law and what that truly means. And, you know, it really doesn't fit with our constitutional law here. 877-895-5410. Bill and Beth Ann will be right back.
Going twice, sold to the highest bidder. Has the U.S. been sold out by those we've trusted to guard, protect, and help this nation prosper? Selling U.S. Out is a nonpartisan examination of the trade and economic policies that brought about the current economic crisis. It is receiving great reviews from Americans across the social and political spectrum. Beth is proud to call J.R. Martin a friend, and she's thrilled he's provided his book for you. CSC Talk Radio listeners, we speak about communism, socialism, but what about corporatism, greed? What did free trade accomplish? NAFTA? GATT? CAFTA? Lisa, why is American productivity and our own industries failing? Why are we losing American businesses and American jobs? J.R. Martin has generously made his book available so that Beth can offer it to you at a discounted price. Nearly 400 pages packed with powerful information and years of research. We have to know the truth in order to turn this mess around. Send $15 to P.O. Box 73, California, Missouri, 65018. That's selling U.S. out. $15 to P.O. Box 73, California, Missouri, 65018.
Alexis de Tocqueville once stated, America is great because she is good. If America ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. To know where we are going, we must remember from whence we came. Looking back in our American history, we can see the hand of God. He wrought many miracles in our nation and brought us through much to be a nation under Him, a nation under God. We've forgotten from whence we came. America has lost her greatness. America ceases to be good because we've forgotten our God, who is all that is good. Sue and Bill Federer have compiled 32 truths, which in our history show the hand of God, His answered prayers, His miracles, and His mercy on our nation. For only $22, Miracles in American History will encourage and uplift you. Order Miracles in American History. Send $22 to CSC Talk Radio, Post Office Box 73, California, Missouri 65018, or order online at csctalkradio.com.
What every American needs to know about the Quran, a history of Islam and the United States. Bill Federer has done it again. He makes history come to life, and current events all connect that to history. Sultans conquered the 1,000-year-old Byzantine city of Constantinople. Jefferson sent Marines to stop the Muslim Barbary pirates of Algiers and Tripoli. Woodrow Wilson tried saving millions of Americans killed in Turkey. History that affects you and me today. In 2006, Keith Ellison was the first Muslim elected to the U.S. Congress. He swore on a Quran. What does this mean? Educate and activate. We shouldn't form opinion or initiate actions before we know the truth. Purchase your copy of What Every American Needs to Know About the Quran today. Send $22 to CSE Talk Radio, P.O. Box 73, California, Missouri 65018, or order on the website at csctalkradio.com. That's $22 for the history of Islam and the United States.
Wow, did you see that? I think somebody had some work done, like a facelift. No, not Beth Ann, her website. Yep, CSC Talk Radio has had a facelift for sure. A new logo and a new fresh look. Visit csctalkradio.com. CSC Talk Radio is a coalition of conversations between Beth Ann, you, and all America. So the look incorporates all America, from sea to shining sea. Beth Ann is truly in the middle of the nation, reaching out to all America as she continues her journey to bring America home. Join in the conquest for truth on CSC Talk Radio. In the next several months, CSC Talk Radio will be reaching out in different ways to help keep you informed. Get involved and share the education. As always, Beth Ann needs your help and support. Visit the website. Support our sponsors. Join the show on Facebook. Follow Beth Ann on Twitter. Contribute as you can. Whether on air, online, or social media, we need all avenues as we bring in the fold and bring America home.
And we have returned to listening to CSE Talk Radio. This is Beth Ann. I'm visiting today with Bill Federer. We're talking about the history of Islam. And he does have books. Before we continue with the Sharia law that I wanted to discuss some about, he does have two books. We have them ready for you. One book and one DVD. The book is What Every American Should Know About the Quran, and it gives you the history. And the DVD, now I haven't seen your DVD, but it has come to me through listeners who have purchased it from you elsewhere, that it is excellent, and they wanted me to provide it here. So I wanted you to explain a little bit about your DVD and what's on it, and then we'll get into the Sharia law details. But let's talk about your DVD just for a moment.
Well, thank you, Beth Ann, and I do appreciate your listeners for supporting you, and you are doing such a tremendous work. The DVD has several half-hour programs where I go through step-by-step the origin of Islam, the spread of Islam, and then how it's affecting us today. and it is vital to understand. You know, in nature, you have different species. You have domestic species, and you have invasive species,
yeah.
Right? You got, you know, weeds, and then you got super weeds. You got ants, and then you got fire ants. You got bees, you got killer bees. Somebody let a python loose in the Everglades, and there's no natural predators. Now they're growing 40 feet long and swallowing, you know, cows and alligators. And so ideologically, you have domestic ideologies, like, you know, turn the other cheek, do unto others as you would have them do it to you. And you have invasive ideologies, ones that want to come in and eradicate all previous existing ideologies. And so that's one of the things we see with Islam, is it comes into countries. You look at India, and they were Hindus, and they had, you know, lots of different pagan gods, and they mentally could not conceive of a religion being exclusive. And so when Islam first came into India, they're like, oh, another god, sure, here, you know, we'll help you build your mosque and so forth. And then when the Muslims started killing the other Hindus and wiping out them, they couldn't conceive of it. It was like this invasive ideology that there was no defense against. And so in America, we have the Christian concept of tolerance, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And so it's hard for us to mentally conceive of something coming in. And if you have a garden, my wife planted different things, you know, and peas and beans. And then she planted squash and didn't realize that the squash would grow and have these huge leaves that would block out the sun for the rest of the garden. And all the other little plants would eventually, you know, shrivel and die. And so there is ideologically this new belief system that comes in, and it wants to crowd out the pre-existing beliefs in the different areas where it goes.
Well, it'll either crowd it out or kill it out, won't it?
Right. And so, again, there's a 1,400-year track record. And it is interesting when you look at the Quran, there are two sets of verses in the Quran based on the two cities Muhammad lived in. And it's very important to understand this. The first city Muhammad lived in was Mecca, and he was just a religious leader in Mecca. So those verses are relatively more peaceful. It says there's no compulsion in religion and be respectful to the people of the book, the Jews and the Christians. Well, when he gets chased out, he goes to Medina. That's when he gets his political and military verses, and the later verses supersede the earlier verses. In a similar way to in the Bible, we have an Old Testament and a New Testament. The Old Testament has some violence in it. Moses and Joshua and David, you know, wiping out tribes. Mm-hmm. The New Testament, Jesus and the apostles never killed anyone. And so what do we say, WWJD, what would Jesus do? The later, more peaceful verses are the ones we're going to strive to imitate. It's the same way in Islam, only in reverse. Their peaceful verses came first when Muhammad was in Mecca. They're superseded and erased by the later verses that are political and militant that come in Medina. They're called strong verses. And so they can say, oh, we got a peaceful verse, but amongst themselves they know that that is not what they live by anymore. And so it's important to understand this, because the Muslim Brotherhood tells its followers. Now, the majority of Muslims are nonviolent. The majority of Muslims just want to live their lives. They really have, in a sense, backslidden from following Muhammad's example, and they're fine with that.
I was going to say, are they only following, is that what we talk about is moderate? They're just following the first, the peaceful version of the Quran?
Yeah, now they wouldn't say it like that, but that's in effect what it is. And so Islam is a religion of peace, but their definition of the word peace is slightly different than ours. Our definition of the word peace is different groups getting along. Their definition of the word peace is when the whole world submits to the will of Allah, there will be peace. So in other words, to them, world peace means world Islam. And that's their goal. They're striving to get the whole world to submit to Allah, and then there'll be peace. And so, it's a religion of peace. They're wanting to make everybody submit to Allah. And now a moderate Muslim thinks, sort of like Lincoln, he said, we all declare for liberty, but in using the same word, we do not all mean the same thing. And so we all want peace, but our word is not the same definition as theirs. So a moderate Muslim believes the world is going to submit to Allah later, maybe in the distant future, maybe at the end of the world. And since it's so far off, they really don't think about it every day. They just want to live their lives. That's fine. That type of Muslim has no problem living in a free democratic society and having you as a kafir infidel as a neighbor. The fundamental Muslim, on the other hand, they think the world is supposed to submit to Allah now. And they're really excited, and they want to help make it happen. Now, the dilemma for us in the West is the more we bend over backwards to show ourselves nice and accommodating and friendly, the more the moderate Muslim begins to rethink and says, wait a second, this has never, ever happened before, that we can have hundreds of thousands of Muslim immigrants come into the West and they'll pay us $2,500 a month and they'll give us free food and free clothes and we can have all kinds of arms and machine guns in our mosques and they don't do anything about it. And we can have Muslim training camps where we can train people how to fight and they're not doing anything. This is maybe the world is in fact submitting to Allah now rather than later.
Wow.
And so it causes them to gravitate from the future peaceful moderate view into the fundamental now view, which is the violent view. So all of our efforts to show ourselves really nice and really respectful and really careful not to offend them, they view that as the us submitting.
And that's that's going to bite us, isn't it? We've got Steve from Illinois. Steve, how are you today?
Morning. Yeah, good morning. Happy post-Christmas. You know, going back to 9/11, something that has really started that I look at is that every day I turn on the media and I have had a Muslim influence coming towards me. Mm. The Muslims in this country are less than 1% of the population. But what is really going on is, at this point, I actually think it's an involuntary indoctrination of America into the Muslim faith just simply because there's an aspect of the media that every day is presenting it. And I think you're right that, you know, with you mentioned 1,400 years of Christian Muslim history, there's no reason why that cannot continue in this country, and we're basically heading for a fight.
Yeah, you're reading it correctly. Now, there are very wealthy Muslims who have bought interest in the news media. There's Prince Al-Walid bin Talal, one of the richest men in the world. He's the nephew of the King of Saudi Arabia, and he bought an interest in Fox News. And ever since then, Fox News is really careful not to say anything negative against Islam. And if they do, they really have CARE, which is a terrorist-connected group, be the spokesperson. And they lift them up. And so it's and then we see that this same Prince Al-Walid bin Talal bought an interest in Disney and in Citibank and these different things. And so his idea is you do jihad through money. And they bought textbook companies. And so now that a lot of the textbooks they're using in the Common Core school system are portraying Islam in a very positive light.
Steve, I want you to hang on. We're going into a break. Can you hang on?
Sure.
Okay. We're going into a break. Your calls are welcome at 877-895-5410. That's 877-895-5410. Our subject today is the history of Islam. Radical or moderate? And we will be right back.
CJ Hadley has been bringing us all home on the range for 25 years. She's celebrating with a special offer for CSC Talk Radio listeners. Her 25th anniversary special includes a yearly subscription to Range Magazine, 2016 Buckaroo Calendar, your choice of one of her award-winning books, The M-Bar, Call of the Cow Country, Brush Strokes and Balladeers, or Go West, all for only $40. This is the perfect 25th anniversary celebration, as well as great gift ideas. This package is only $40. A yearly subscription to Range Magazine, 2016 Buckaroo Calendar, your choice of one of her award-winning books, The M-Bar, Call of the Cow Country, Brush Strokes and Balladeers, or Go West, all for only $40. Order now. Go to rangemagazine.com or give them a call at 1-800-RANGE-FOR-YOU. That's 1-800-726-4348. And tell them Beth Ann sent you.
Gold and silver have been the foundation of wealth for individuals and nations the world over. The history of man is packed with coins, jewelry, and artifacts that have spoken to the intrinsic value esteemed in gold and silver due to their rarity, durability, and usefulness. I'm proud to call Melody Cederstrom a friend and honored. Discount Gold and Silver Trading is a loyal sponsor of CSE Talk Radio. A Christian company founded on the principles of truth and honesty, Melody provides quality products, quality service, and competitive pricing. Let Melody's over 20 years of experience in gold and silver trading be your investment guide, from precious metals purchases to precious metals IRA. Whether you want to buy or sell, Melody and her team at Discount Gold and Silver will assist you and make sure you get the best deals possible. Call Melody and tell her thank you for sponsoring CSE Talk Radio, and then let her know you want her to be your gold and silver dealer. Visit Melody online at dgscoins.com or just give her a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. BioAg, working with nature naturally. CSC Talk Radio is excited to welcome Murray Bast with BioAg as a new common sense sponsor in natural agriculture. BioAg consultants and distributors are devoted. They understand working with nature. Since 1982, their mission has been to produce and supply products and services that warrant and support true sustainable agriculture. They've done the research. BioAg is a major supplier of natural products and services for livestock and crop production. Visit bio-ag.com and research for yourself. Tell your local farm and home suppliers to become BioAg distributors. From chelate minerals, vitamins, and more, bioag.com has all the products you need. Work with nature naturally to improve your bottom line as well as improve your products and health. Serving all of North America, visit bio-ag.com or just give them a call at 1-800-363-5278.
It was once said, the pen is mightier than the sword. We're living in a time now that is demanding the Republic to speak up. Grievances need to be put before our elected officials. They need to hear from you. Mainstream media isn't telling the constitutional truth about issues in this nation. There's an agenda afoot that's being used against we the people. Commit now to send at least one of your representatives the pen. There will be no excuse for their lack of knowledge. Pick your state or national representative and senators, or even your governor. It's time to bring common sense back into our governing. Let the Republic be heard. The Pen is a bi-monthly publication for only $24.95. Order yours and order theirs. $24.95 per subscription, CSC Talk Radio, P.O. Box 73, California, Missouri, 65018. Order four and get the fifth one free. For credit card, visit csctalkradio.com. CSC Talk Radio listeners are reaching out to bring America home.
And we have returned to listening to CSE Talk Radio. This is Beth Ann. I'm visiting today with Bill Federer. We're in the final segment of today's show. I'm going to go back to Steve, and then we have some other callers holding. Steve, I wanted you to be able to finish your thoughts.
I'll be fast. I have a quick question for your guest. Would say 10 years ago, would he have expected an organization called Al Jazeera by now to become mainstream and to be doing an investigation on Peyton Manning?
Right. Well, it's interesting. Islam uses something called psychological projection, and this is called the victimhood blaming theory. So every little kid knows about this. There's a bully on the playground pushing everybody around, and one little kid finally has had enough, and he swings back and hits the bully. And the bully says, "Teacher, he started it. He hit me first." Right? I'm not the mean one. You're the mean one. And so it's in politics. It's this tactic of blame your opponent of what you're guilty of. And so if you're a racist, you want to call the other person a racist first. And then they have to go through defending themselves, and then when they finally come back and say, "Well, no, you're the real racist," by that time it's so muddled in the public eye that you get away with it. If you're, a greedy person, you call the other one greedy. If you're doing tax evasion, you call the other one first. And, if you're walking in a room and you got a spot on your shirt, if you say, "Hey, Joe over there has a big spot on his shirt," where does everybody look? They look at Joe. And so if he's got to open up his jacket and say, "No, I don't." And so Islam does this where they blame their victim. And so when they come in here and they say, "You're intolerant," Well, no. They're the ones that are intolerant, and there's 1,400 years of them wiping out every pre-existing culture wherever they go in. But they come in and they blame the other side. It's a very, it's a tactic that is effective. And so the concept that they also use of victimhood, where they try to say we're the victims, when in effect wherever they go they make the non-Muslims the victims. And all you got to do is talk to somebody who was raised in Iraq, the Chaldean Christians or the Coptic Christians in Egypt. I mentioned the 1400 year track record. Egypt used to be Christian for 600 years. Egypt was Christian. It was evangelized by Mark that wrote the gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But then when Amir ibn Alas invaded, the Christians had to smuggle the bones of St. Mark out of the country by packing them under pork. And then Jerusalem had been a Byzantine Christian city since Constantine, right? It was all the Roman Empire, and then when Constantine became Christian, the Roman Empire became Christian until Caliph Umar conquered it. And then Syria was the first country that was completely Christian, evangelized by the Apostle Paul. Syria was Christian for six centuries. There's more ancient Christian writing in Syrian than any other language other than Greek and Latin. And these Syrian Christians evangelized into India, Mongolia, even China during the Tang Dynasty had a thriving Syrian Christian community. But then there was a Muslim leader named Tamerlane who killed 17 million people throughout Central Asia, wipes out Christianity. And then there used to be 250 Catholic dioceses along North Africa in the 7th century. So Morocco, Algiers, Tunisia, Libya, that was all Roman and Christian, and then the Muslims conquered it. And then in the year 711, 80,000 Muslims invaded Spain, and they had Arabian horses and the stirrup. And the stirrup was invented in Mongolia. A little short. They flew short horses and tie a whole rope around the horse, and then they would raid into China, and then they got the stirrup, and then it made their way to Persia, and the Persians made the stirrup out of metal with leather straps, and that's where the Muslims got it. So they had the stirrup before the Europeans did, so they could fight on horseback, and they had these scimitar swords, these curved swords, and they literally could slice someone in half while riding at a full gallop. So in 10 years, they conquered all of Spain, and then finally stopped outside of Paris.
We're getting short on time, and I've got two callers holding. I'm going to try and get to them if I can. We've got Joe from Arkansas. By the way, thank you, Steve. We have Joe from Arkansas.
Okay, yeah, I think it's good to remind yourselves frequently that there is a long-standing plan of secret societies, some secret societies, to create a third world war between the Muslim world and the so-called Judeo-Christian world. And obviously somebody with a lot more influence on our government than the American people have is telling our government to pursue stupid and destructive policies in regards to our relationship with the Muslim world. You know, it's not the American people that wanted our government to invade a lot of Muslim countries and meddle with their internal affairs where we have no business, so to stir up a lot of anger against the United States amongst the Muslim countries. It's not the American people that told our government to do that. It's somebody very rich and powerful with a lot more influence on our government than the American people have. And the American people don't want a lot of Muslims being brought into this country and a lot of Muslim influence being brought into our country. But obviously somebody very rich and powerful with a lot more influence on our government than the people have is telling our government to pursue this stupid and destructive policies. So I think it's those very rich and powerful people that are telling our government to do all these stupid and destructive things that are our worst problem, not the Muslims themselves. That's what I wanted to say.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to let you reply on that, Bill, real quickly. We have one other caller holding if we can get to him.
Yeah, well, there's people like George Soros and David Rockefeller and those different ones, and the communist tactic is you send in agitators, agent provocateurs, community organizers, labor organizers. You send them into countries for the sole purpose of creating internal crises, and then when the crisis is so bad with random violence and killings, everybody surrenders their rights and freedoms to the government. And we see this when they came into Paris and did the killing. What was the response? The government put in martial law. And so the thought is, are we being set up for an Arab Spring? All these Muslims being brought into America, spread into cities, a lot of rural areas, and there's no background checks being done on them, so there's a good chance we're bringing in ISIS terrorists. And so the thought is, are we being set up for simultaneous Baltimores and Fergusons and San Bernardinos all across America, maybe building up to a head before the next election, and then the cry is going to go, the president needs to declare this a national emergency, and as soon as he declares it a national emergency, all of the executive orders orders that have been piling up since John F. Kennedy's Bay of Pigs kicked in. And the president gets immediate control of the radio, TV, internet, telephone calls, food supplies, financial transactions, waterways, highways, everything.
There goes Beth Ann, huh? We're going to try real quick to go to Jeff from Texas. Jeff, you've only got a few seconds. I do apologize, but we're running out of time.
Okay, thank you, Bill. Look no further than George Bush to Barack Obama and the King of Saudi Arabia for your thunder.
Okay. All right, your phone is cutting out. We're going to have to let you go, Jeff. I apologize. I can't hear you. Did you understand what he said, Bill?
Well,
he was referring to some other presidents.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, President Bush did open the doors for a whole lot of this Muslim immigration into America. If he would have said that fundamental militant Islam is our problem, but instead he said a war on terrorism, and so it diverted it. And from that point on, they've been coming in large numbers, and our current president has put Muslims into the Homeland Security, into the military, the Pentagon, the CIA, all these different national agencies, and so we are. 100 years ago, they would have called it a coup.
Yeah, you know what? We're out of time, and we haven't even mentioned your book. So I'm going to, if you're available next week or the next, we're going to have you back on so we can talk about this a little more in detail again and take callers earlier. I have the Quran. It was what every American needs to know about the Quran for $22. Conquest, Islamic Conquest is also the DVD for $22. Bill says we can offer both a pack of two for $40. And I will talk to you a little bit more about that here in the near future. We'll have Bill back on because it's going to take all of us to educate one another and come together and bring America home. Thank you, Bill.
Dr. Michael Kaufman isn't holding back, but speaking the truth. Truth is tough, and we have a lot to learn here. Radical Islam is not knocking on our door, but is in the house, and a very real threat to America. What is Islam, and what is the true belief of those? Are they all radicals? Is there a soft side to Islam? Dr. Kaufman's book is a quick study and will reveal much to you, helping all of us understand the threat of Islam to our United States of America and our American way of life. We are / were a Christian nation. Why are our leaders denying this? Is there a plan to take America for the global Islamic state? Yes. Order now. $13.99 includes shipping and handling. P.O. Box 73, California Mo 65018. Or order online at csctalkradio.com. Oh, one more thing. This book is made in the USA. Order your copy today of Radical Islam in the House, only $13.99.
Hear ye, hear ye. The Pen is here. News hot off the presses. The Pen is the bi-monthly newsletter for CSC Talk Radio. Beth Ann and friends have packed it with information you won't read in the paper from the corner newsstand. News, opinions, and insights, all packed into this economical read. Just $24.95 will buy you 6 issues yearly. Common sense is what we speak, and it's also what we write. The Pen is a compilation of many writers we know you're going to enjoy. The news these days isn't easy to digest, but it is necessary to keep informed, and that is what we at CSC Talk Radio strive to do, serving listeners in every way. Order your subscription today. Send $24.95 to CSC Talk Radio, P.O. Box 73, California, Missouri, 65018. Keep informed. Send $24.95 to P.O. Box 73, California, Missouri, 65018, and request your subscription to The Pen today.
CSC Talk Radio is making available 2 pocket-sized booklets which will arm you with the truth. President Lincoln said, study the Constitution, let it be preached from the pulpit, proclaim the legislatures and enforced in courts of justice. The Citizens Rule Book is a pocket-sized booklet containing the Bill of Rights, our Constitution, and much more, explaining our rules. A must-read and a convenient to carry. Keep one in your pocket, one in your car, and one in your purse. The second punch of power is Sheriff Richard Mack's Victory for State Sovereignty. Understanding that that our states' rights supersede federal laws and mandates is vital and valuable information. The Supreme Court victory of Mack Prince versus USA is a victory for all states. $5 will put power in your pocket. Order now. Send $5 to CSC Talk Radio. Let me know you want a pocket full of power. Post Office Box 73, California, Missouri 65018, or order online at csctalkradio.com. $5 is a small amount to pay for a pocket full of power.